Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we've got a fun show for you today. Kevin Batchelder is back, and he and I talk about Sci-Fi Channel's newest series, 12 Monkeys, and both of us agree you should check this show out. It debuts tonight, January 16th. But if you miss it tonight, I'm pretty sure it'll show up on Hulu over the weekend. At least that's what I'm hoping. We also have a review of Michael Mann's new film, Black Hat, by Noah and Darren. And Rapid Eye calls me out on voicemail. And I will simply let his words speak for themselves. But first up, we have Noah and Darren reviewing Black Hat.
Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi review. I am Noah Richman.
And I'm Darren Goldsvig.
And we're talking about the movie Black Hat, starring Chris Hemsworth. And I guess a little bit of a rundown. It's, you have this genius computer hacker who also happens to be a god of thunder and Olympic athlete bodybuild, who is the only person that they can possibly get to solve a problem with somebody that's doing computer crime, hacking into Wall Street and manipulating soy prices, causing a meltdown at a nuclear generator. And so, naturally, what you have to do is bring Chris Hemsworth out of prison.
Yeah, well, he's Chris Hemsworth. He's like, I kept on thinking it was Thor, and I'm sorry, that just maybe my being narrow-minded here, but yeah, I just expected him to bring out his hammer, but it's just, but yeah, it was pretty simplistic, if you think.
Pretty simplistic, yeah. So anyway, you're probably already gathering a little bit from the summary. It's very by-the-numbers film, I think we would both agree on that. It definitely feels like something that's very much assembled by committee. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense having this super, you know, super sex star who's a computer hacker. I don't know how many computer hackers you know, but
well, just for pretty pictures, you know, we're talking about Chris Hemsworth. I might add that the they picked a female lead opposite him of Wei Tang, and she's quite an attractive lady, and you know, we're supposed to believe there's this chemistry between the two of them during this movie, and it just never really feels doesn't feel warm. It just kind of feels cold. Now, whether that's just because, you know, she seemed to be hard. I mean, I had a hard time understanding her sometimes. And her acting was kind of, I don't know, cold, robotic. And Chris Hemsworth isn't the best actor in the world. So, you know, when you add those two together, it kind of had an awkwardness to it. But again, they're pretty people to look at, I guess. So,
right.
You know, that adds to that.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. That it just sort of felt assembled like, okay, we know the Chinese market is really important. We have to reach out to the Chinese market, so we'll set the movie in China. Okay, now, we're going to do this about computer hacking, but we have to have some kind of angle that makes it sexy. So let's cast Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, and also do it in a way that's kind of layman's, because quite honestly, if you just talked about code and the things that this code can be as far as destruction, you know, it would be lost upon lots of people, and so you have to make this available to the masses. And so, you know, if you start talking about brute force programming and things of that nature, it's going to be lost on people. So I think, well, the way Michael Mann represented it was in the visual aspect, just like the way it starts and the way it finishes. And you get an idea of what's being accomplished through that visual. So that was kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, now that's where we do have to say there's one thing that you do have to say about it is a Michael Mann film. Mm-hmm. He is an accomplished director, and it definitely has his trademark style. There are some action sequences that definitely pretty engaging.
Yeah, just a beautiful film. Michael Mann is from a pure filmmaker. He makes just beautiful pictures, and this is just as beautiful as his work. I've always been a fan of his abilities to put a pretty picture out there, and you get a lot of emotion and verbal, nonverbal actions. So I think he succeeds on all levels with that. But of course, we don't always go to a movie just to look at pretty pictures.
Right. Well, and something else that I think is, I found the film to be somewhat slow and ponderous myself, mm-hmm. like taken from beginning to end. I noticed both of us checking the time at a certain point through the course of the screening. But on the other hand, the scenes where it really does come to life mm-hmm. are some pretty, you know, they're pretty good action scenes. They're pretty interesting. Well, of course, it's easy to laugh about them throwing in the eye candy that they throw in because they need to draw in the audience. Some of the eye candy is pretty nice to look at.
I'll tell you this. I will say that I think the best performance of this movie was Viola Davis. She was flat out amazing, and without going into great detail what happens to her. I mean, she was just... I'm not as familiar with her work. I know she's done some work on television, but... just her performance by far is one of the best things as far as the acting goes. Really amazing. So,
right. Yeah, I guess so. What I would say in summary, in terms of my reaction to the film, is it was, I sort of hate to use this word, but thoroughly average in many ways. Like, if it was a Saturday night and I had a group of friends that were all going and they said, hey, come see this movie with us. Yeah, that would be fine. I wouldn't say that it's going to be like, oh my God, I just wasted my time and my money. That was agony. And on the other hand, if you never see it, you're really not missing anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. There was a couple events, just as we're watching it, I kind of wanted to get a little closure on. And because the movie ends in such a way that's ambiguous, you know, we don't quite know, which I'm okay with, you know, in the movie. But there are some subplots that are in part of this that lead to the end that just are never closed, or at least I wasn't satisfied. So that was kind of a strange way to make this movie, because when you set up these sequences, when there's no closure on them, it just leaves the viewer kind of waiting for the answer. And I'm okay with, again, like using your imagination, but I don't know, these are pretty serious plot points that they were never resolved on.
You know?
But yeah, for the most part, I was enjoying this movie from a point that if I was on again, I would probably watch it if it's on, like Noah said, on cable. But I would not go back to a theater to watch this, just because it's too formulaic, as we've mentioned, and just doesn't really go anywhere. That makes me just feel excited, like you were mentioning. We looked at our watches, and so that's usually not a sign of a bad good movies.
Anyway, so that's our review for Black Hat, and thank you for listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Thanks so much.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hi, and welcome back to Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks.
And I'm Kevin Batchelder.
And Kevin is joining me today, so we can give you guys a preview of Sci-Fi Channel's newest series, or one of their newest series, 12 Monkeys. Now, I was a fan of the movie. It had some interesting implications. I was also very interested in it because it was filmed in the Philadelphia area, or parts of it were filmed in the Philadelphia area when I was living there, so it was kind of cool to go, hey, I know that building. And it's just a geek thing. You know, you see some place where you used to walk by all the time in a movie, you're going, hey, cool.
That's cool. Yes, exactly.
Yes. I could give you all sorts of stories about Trading Places, let me tell you. But this series, I wasn't sure how they were going to structure it in the face of what happened in the movie. So I was curious, but not certain what to expect. And the two screener episodes that we got, I actually watched them twice because I was that pulled in.
Yep. Got to give them a lot of credit. They have been, as you said, hit or miss with some of their series and events recently. And, you know, we've been talking about this on our Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV podcast. And most of my comments have been, okay, I'm going to wait till I see it because this could go totally in the tank. Or maybe they've got a nice little bit of reimagining and I'm going to like it. And yeah, as you said, Summer, I was very impressed with the way they went with this.
It's the way I'm not going to go on any spoilers. You're welcome to if you want to, but I'm not. I'm going to try to avoid.
Yeah, no, but I don't want folks not to listen. And seeing as this is coming out before they both have aired, we you know, I will tread lightly.
Right, but the way they handled the time travel, the way they are handling what they're, the return of that information to the future, and the doing more investigation, more digging in through basically the ruins to figure out what happened, to keep sending him back to intervene in different ways, was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that we, what do you want to say, honor the movie, respect it, kind of parallel it, but then create our own path, you know, within these first couple of episodes. And that's the story part, which is what I was kind of curious, as you said, you know, you've got a movie and you've got that story. How the heck do you turn this into, you know, a bunch of episodes in a TV series? And they've found a way so far to do that. And the other part that I think is even as exciting for me is I really think the leads just fit this one perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've done a great job here casting. I mean, I was less than 5 minutes in, totally believing these folks, feeling like I'm right there with them.
Yeah, the passion of who's the lead character?
Our lead is Cole.
The actor who plays him.
That is, I believe, Aaron Stanford.
Stanford, right. He was in X-Men, the movie.
Yeah, he also had a long stint in the new Nikita series.
Ah, I did not see that, so.
Yeah, he's got quite a broad range of stuff. With only 20-some-odd credits so far, he's really done a good job getting himself in a lot of different things.
Yeah, the way he, you could feel his desire. Mm-hmm. To end the world he grew up in, to make things better. His focus and drive and determination bordering on obsessive.
Exactly.
Is palpable. You believe that he truly believes in his mission and he's going to accomplish it no matter what. And then when he realizes that certain things that he've done have not changed anything, he gets more and more determined to figure out where the information was wrong, what information they're missing, and just to keep uncovering the clues and finding clues in the most unexpected of places is just I am looking forward to seeing if I can spot the breadcrumbs that the writers are leaving to help us jump back and forth. Because now that I've seen those two episodes, I know they're coming. So many things hidden. That's why I had to watch those episodes a second time. And I actually was not dreading. I'm like one of those, usually you have to rewatch something. Okay, I have to look at this again. I wanted to watch these again.
Yeah, I mentioned when I was talking to a couple of friends how, you know, knowing we were going to do the podcast about this, so, you know, one of those type of shows that I, you know, kept going to take some notes on it. And I started watching this thing, and I found myself like 3/4 of the way through the first episode with like one note because I was so enthralled. I wasn't bothering to make a note, so I'm like, oh, that's no big deal. I'm going to be glad to go and watch it again for the sake of notes and such because I was totally pulled in. That's when I know something's succeeding. I'm not looking down at a full pad of notes because I'm bored and noting everything that happens just to keep myself busy.
Right. And I'm hoping that they can sustain it. I think the first season is just 13 episodes.
Yeah, I haven't seen a specific number listed anywhere yet. I'm guessing, knowing the sci-fi model, it's 10 to 13.
Right. And then I just hope it does well enough that we get more seasons, because this deserves a longer story arc. And from what I've seen, I think a lot of people will like this. There's nothing jumped out at me as being blatantly knocking me out of my suspension of disbelief. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. No, they've got, it's definitely sci-fi. Now, there's probably some of you who haven't seen the movie. And I don't think you have to. Will you appreciate some bits? Absolutely. But you can come into this cold. They've set it up nicely. But it's, along with true sci-fi, obviously with what's going on, they're also very much being sure to address the mystery side. If you're someone who wants, like you said, wants to see the mystery of what's going on or be able to unravel it, or go back and watch it to be able to unravel it once you see where it's going, I think they're starting to lay that out there pretty well. I mean, my biggest concern after these first two episodes is that sustainability. Can they keep this story running and engaging without turning into looking like it's being padded a couple episodes in or going on some tangent we don't, you know, feel engaged with? So I had some of those concerns before I watched them, and that's probably the only one still left is, do they have that story to last? I mean, two episodes in, absolutely, but again, to go 13, we've got to see who else they're going to bring into the story. And we get a little hint of that in the second episode, that there's another layer of characters there too. So it's not just our kind of like our lead two or three characters, but our female lead, Amanda Schull, I believe it's pronounced here.
Uh-huh.
You know, as kind of like the doctor type, not being too much on the spoilers, is, you know, totally sucked in too by our lead, as you said, who's got his obsessive nature and contacts her. And then she's going down rabbit holes and what that effect has on her. And the whole idea of the back to the future approach to time travel here, you know, what can you do to affect things? How much will things automatically autocorrect, ... you know, makes for some very interesting stuff.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you really don't have to know the movie at all to pick up with the story. You get the introduction of what happened, when it happened, how these people found the technology to help them try to figure out a way to prevent the catastrophe from happening in the first place, which echoes what was in the movie. But they are taking a different path to finding out where everything started.
Yeah, and they're doing a smart job, too, of how the time travel side is near future, so we don't have to see any flying cars or dramatically expensive special effects between the, you know, the near future points and the present and so forth. So far, they've done a nice job on balancing that. So, again, smart choice probably to work well within the budget. But writing-wise and certainly the actors they've got on this, it's a big thumbs up so far. I'm very, very pleasantly surprised with what we're getting.
And the landscape, the way they have created the completely collapsed civilization of the near future, it looks like a couple of episodes of Life After People. And they've portrayed that despair very well. You know, that humankind is on the brink of extinction.
Yeah.
There's no way to stop it. There's no way to rebuild what has been lost. And the people who, there's just not enough brain power to bring any of the comfort or safety of what a lot of these people grew up with back. And you feel that loss, that despair, but you also get a sense of determination from these people are following clues, following breadcrumbs, sending Cole back in time to, as their mission specialist, for lack of a better word. And everybody knows that if he succeeds, they all stop existing. And they're cool with that.
Or at least they think that's what's going to happen.
Right. They think that's what's going to happen. And whether or not we actually see a split line, you know, something like that, what they did in Awake, or we actually do have that propagation forward of a timeline change, mm-hmm. who knows? But I think they're going to go with the propagation forward in the same timeline, just from what he demonstrated a couple times with the paradoxes, with two objects from different times occupying the same space in the same
yes.
time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I liked that little, don't cross the streams, Ray.
And that's another one of those smart points where, again, all of us that have seen enough sci-fi know that how many different ways you can approach time travel. And by having that there, mm-hmm. that's kind of giving us an anchor to, oh, well, this is going to follow this model. And be careful, though. Be careful when you start making assumptions.
True.
I get it, and I follow it, but that's all I'm going to do to myself is a little bit of raise an eyebrow and go, okay, but don't make too much assumptions on that, because there's probably going to be some other way to work it, especially with his group that's been trying to get him to perform these certain missions or projects, and
right.
they have not the perfect execution of sending him to certain time frames.
Right, and hence we get that he's been to different times, but he doesn't know it yet. That was... That whole line of potential investigation was, whoa, how'd that happen? Wait, what? Especially his explanation of, we couldn't have done that.
You mean that's really possible?
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that someone told him he did it, what do they do with that in the future? That could be a plot point. That could be a big key point to figure out what's going on. But yeah, I liked the demonstration of the paradox, because the only movie I can think of where I've seen that sort of destructive interaction was Time Cop, which is an right. absolutely cheesy movie, but I enjoy it. I like that movie.
It succeeds.
It has its moments. It has yes. its moments.
Now, I think genre fans are also going to appreciate, you might have seen in some of the ads too, along with those leads, which aren't the most visible folks in the genre world, you also have Kirk Acevedo here.
Yeah.
Playing a secondary character. We haven't mm-hmm. seen him much in these first couple of eps, but folks will definitely recognize him from certainly Fringe.
Mm-hmm. And our first bad guy, or our first target, rather, was it Ivan Jelko? He's one of those guys, you don't remember his name, but you always remember his face.
Oh, the face, yes.
Yeah.
No, he plays bad very good.
Uh-huh, yeah. He's actually in a movie of, there's a documentary called That Guy Who Was in That Thing. Awesome, mm-hmm. awesome movie. I suggest people who are fans of B movies and bit players check it out. Definitely worth it. Because they all make fun of how it's like, yeah, it's like, hey, weren't you that?
Yeah, you're the guy.
So yeah, that check it out. He's actually in that. So, but yeah, this is the first Sci-Fi Channel original series that has come out that I have actually gotten excited about in a long time.
Yep, I wasn't a big fan of Helix, which they're pairing it up with on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very pleased to see the tone of this one. You know, I mean, they've been tooting their horn about a whole new direction and a reclaiming of the sci-fi. That's the SCIFI landscape again, now that uh-huh. other networks have kicked their butt. So up till now, up to me, it was a little bit of a hollow talk. But if this is like they're going to start to do some other things, I think we're all going to be very pleased. I mean, this is a serious take and a well-done one on yeah. a true sci-fi universe.
Yeah, I know a lot of people aren't going to be happy until they see some space opera. back on Sci-Fi Channel, but this is a huge, well-done, well-produced, well-executed step in the right direction to getting back the Sci-Fi Channel that we grew up on and loved.
Yep. Yep. And that's why I say there's some other stuff coming later this year, but as you said, this one's... It's got real core sci-fi, folks. This isn't just post-apocalyptic stuff, so it may not be the full-blown space opera, but this is the kind of stuff you can, like I said, have a friend who said, well, I'm only into, you know, good drama or a mystery. This is the kind of stuff you can open up to. That's why I say it can cross the genre a little bit and do that, because, again, it's not doing a time jump or time travel to flying cars or anything that's going to get some folks who don't like that stuff rolling their eyes. Mm-hmm. This is very near term and a very serious take and a well done one, certainly based on these first two episodes.
Yeah, the explanation of how they're able to send him through time, I thought was different. That was a very unique take on time travel. The fact that they are working with found technology and still figuring it out is kind of cool, because these people have been living in a devastated civilization. Who knows what's out there? For me, I'm a fan of mysteries. I'm a fan of thrillers. This has enough action to satisfy that part. The mystery of who released the virus, who are these people, where are these people, how do they stop these people, can they be stopped? Following the trail of that mystery, the investigating that mystery, was intriguing, and I actually care about the characters. This was the first, like I said, the first Sci-Fi Channel series in a while where it didn't take me 3 or 4 episodes to warm up to the characters. They hit the ground running. I believed the world they were in. I believed their pain, I believed their hopes, and was concerned for them with them. And that's when I knew I was hooked. I'm like, damn it, I gotta see more now.
Yeah, they have done their job, tip of the cap, as far as getting folks hooked and starting a series off the right way. So it's gonna be fun here going into the spring to have this as a Friday night show to want to watch and to start talking with other fans about what ifs and what did that mean and where do you think they're going with it, kind of thing.
Cool. So any other thoughts?
No, like you said, I'm just hoping this is the tip of the iceberg of sci-fi coming back to some kick-ass sci-fi. Really, I'm hoping that's the case. That's my big upside maybe to early 2015. Here's hoping.
Yeah, because I know with... what is it? Continuum ending with Lost Girl ending too, I think.
Yes, both of them ending this final season this year.
Almighty Johnson's, they've only aired the first season, but it only lasted 3 seasons in New Zealand.
Yeah, they're Sci-Fi
running
did the
out
first
of
two.
Yeah, they're running out of imported shows to air.
Yeah, and they're not doing their B movies anywhere near the degree they did. So they've got a lot of resources going to this this side of the house, shall we say. So let's hope that some of those other ones they're able to do. We've got, Dark Matter coming and Killjoys. I mean, there's a couple of other very interesting projects coming in 2015, too.
I actually don't know anything about Killjoys.
That one is, if I'm getting my names right, and folks might start yelling at me or sending in the emails, I believe that's the one that is truly space-based, about some folks who are a bit of the out on the, kind of like a mission to find stuff kind of things. We'll have to wait to see. I think that's the one that's the co-production between sci-fi and space.
Ooh.
If I have my notes right, but I might be shooting from the wrong hip, but I do recall. I do know that I'm very interested in what it's going to be, so that means they've done their good job on some of the early press release stuff.
Well, I will have to keep a closer eye on their press releases to find out more about that one then. So. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Kevin, for joining me in gushing over this new series, because I hoped I wouldn't be alone and looking forward to it. I'm glad to find out that you enjoyed it as much, too.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Summer. This was, like I say, a real treat to catch these. And The only disappointment or downside now is the fact that I got to wait till January 30th to see a brand new episode now that we got a chance to see these early.
Look at it this way. Now's your chance to live tweet since you've already seen the episode.
Seems like I really know what's going on for those first two.
Exactly. You know what's going on. You know what's going to happen. You can live tweet with little insights saying, okay, check this scene out here. Look for this in the background. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Don't go get that drink now. Wait. Just trust me. Wait another 5 minutes.
Thanks again, Kevin.
My pleasure.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hey, Summer, this is Rapid Eye, and I got a couple bones to pick with you. First of all, I can't believe you called out Gary from Jacksonville to call in a voicemail before you did me. I mean, what's up with that? You think this is like the Babylon 5 podcast or something? Jeez, I've been calling in and busting your hiney long before him on Slice of Sci-Fi, but whatever, you know, you go away for a little while, you come back, forget about your old friends. I get it. Just cast me aside. The other issue I have is I love the new bumper music. I really do. Or theme music, whatever you want to call it. In any case, what I want to know is whether or not we can get that entire track available to us as a download, as an MP3. I'd happily pay those guys 99 cents if I could download that song and listen to it in its entirety because it's awesome. I love it. It's, you know, that'd be a lot of fun. In fact, sometimes I'll just like loop the beginning just, you know, a few times before I go for a long run just to kind of pump me up a little bit. It'd be nice to have the whole song. Anyway, those guys did a great job with it. Lastly, okay, I got to agree with Noah about his review of The Hobbit. It was pretty much spot on with my feelings. You know, there's so many sub-stories that really don't contribute anything. This whole dwarf elf love story, oh, God, makes me vomit. Anyway, but I would have been happy if they just turned it into two movies. I think there's a lot of extended action sequences, especially in the second one. The second movie just drove me nuts. The whole barrel scene, you know, and then also where they're trying to bury Smog and gold and all that. Those just added nothing to the story and just did nothing but take up screen time. Yeah, sure, they were pretty, but you know what? I would have been much happier had they made it into two movies and included the whole, you know, Battle of the Five Armies. I like that. I was good with that. But anyway, Noah did a good job with his review, and I very much echo his sentiments. Anyway, glad to have you back on the air. I really miss you guys. Huge thing about getting the rest of the crew together. The gang's back. Woo, woo.
I can't believe you threw a woo, woo in there, Rapid Eye. Anyway, I will send a note to the guys at Sci-Fi to see if there is a longer version or if they're interested in making a longer version. Feel free to leave a comment on the website or leave a comment on their website. You can go to www.sci-fried.com and also I think sci-friedband.com. Both of those should work to get you to their website where they have a lot more awesome music you can peruse. I highly recommend their newest album, Season 5. My favorite song on that album is Hulk Smash, believe it or not. It's a little slower pace, but still very intense. If you want to check it out, you can listen to the episode where I interviewed them. I believe it was August of last year. That's still on the website. The song is actually one that I play at the very end of the episode, so you hear the whole entire track, and you'll get a little taste of why I love these guys, the music they make, and why I love that one song. I absolutely think it's the best song on the album, maybe tied for the best. But I will ask and see if they made a longer full-length track version of that song. I don't think they did. They sent me a ton of demos and samples and loops, for which I am eternally grateful. As for calling out Gary before you, he was the only one who ever told us that he had our numbers on speed dial. And you stopped emailing me, buddy. You used to mail in with all these leads and the weird stories, the bizarre, geeky stories. And then you stopped. I felt so alone, so abandoned, and in need of content for the website. But as for getting more of the old crew back, I don't know where that stands. Sam and Brett are still interested in doing movie reviews and book reviews. Not Brett. Brett's doing the movies, not the books. He doesn't read. Let's see. Noah and Darren are still doing the movie reviews. Trouble appears in some of those reviews here and there. Ginny is still doing her TV reviews. And I think her deadlines for her novels is preventing her from doing more comics reviews, but we can work around that. Speaking of comics, we have a new contributor, a new comics geek, Michael J. He's going to be taking over the reins, or leading the charge, so to speak, over at It's Comic Book Day. So keep an eye out for reviews and very, very brusque opinions about comics and art and a few other things he likes to talk about. So that's going to be a lot of fun, I believe. And if we ever get to our next segment on comics talk, he'll definitely be joining in. So that'll do it for this week's show. Thank you for continuing to tune in, continuing to support the work we do here. I am doing my best to provide a variety of entertainment for you guys. And I'm always open for suggestions, more reviews, more interviews, working on it. Also working on smoothing out some of the technological edges so we can start broadcasting some live audio via Krypton Radio, which I think will be a lot of fun. Working out the logistics on being able to take live calls while also broadcasting live. There's a bandwidth concern there, so we're going to have to play with that. If anybody wants to help beta test that when we're ready, send me a note. I'll put you on a list, and we'll see where that takes us. As always, check out the website, www.sliceofscifi.com. Most of our random conversations are over on the Facebook page. We also have a few followers over on Google+, and you can almost always find me on Twitter. Over the past several years, I have become the Twitterer. I wasn't enamored of Twitter when it first came out. I didn't really see what the purpose of it was, and then I started tweeting and following people and replying to tweets, and I got hooked. So you can always chat us up over at Slice of Sci-Fi. I will do my best to reply to tweets in a relatively timely fashion. Sometimes not so timely, but I do my best. If you can, please support us. Continue to support the show and the websites. There's a donation button on the bottom. And when we start doing live shows, there will be a Patreon sign up for that as well. If you want to call in with some commentary or observations, or just say hi, that number is 602-635-6976. No, there's no cute little acronym for that. Sorry. I don't know what happened. I just kind of like those numbers. They just kind of flowed together kind of well. So that'll do it, and we'll be back next week with more Slice of Sci-Fi. Take care.